Well, as we begin this section on wives submitting and husbands showing leadership within the home, some of you might be have maybe your antennae up to listen for something that may be offensive to you, and that might be true. I don't know. But I would like to begin with a preliminary comment on the submission of wives. And that preliminary comment is that the Christian faith has given great honor and value to women. So we're going to think about submission, but I want to begin with saying that Christianity has given great honor and value to women as they've come into the church. And we know that Christ has created men and women of equal value. And that's important to remember. It's important to make those statements. Historians that are worth their salt will confess that Christianity has done more for the elevation of women than any other event or idea or thing within the world. And that just needs to be stated. You know, that if you look at the ancient world, as Christianity comes into the ancient world, even with statements like this that people get all worked up on, submission, the value of women because of the Christian faith was elevated in the ancient world. And you know, if you want to know more about that, I can point you to things. But it's important to remember. Now, as the Apostle Paul has spoken of the Spirit-filled life within the church in Ephesus, the church would have had many questions as to how to apply that to their lives. What does it mean to be Spirit-filled? What does it mean to be Spirit-filled in this context or that context or that context? And that's what Paul is doing in the end of chapter 5 as he moves into chapter 6. What does it mean to be Spirit-filled as we live in the community of faith that we call the church? What does it mean to be Spirit-filled as we worship God, as we gather together? What does a Spirit-filled church look like? What does it mean for us to live in gratitude as Christians? And how are we to submit to one another and serve one another as the church? And Paul is going to continue this theme of being Spirit-filled and living lives of submission. And he's going to take that into the next couple of weeks. We're going to talk about families. We're going to talk about the submission of wives and the headship of husbands. And then we're going to talk about children, and we're going to talk about servants and masters, and all of this relationship change that occurs because one finds him or herself submitting to Jesus Christ. Society changes when men and women and boys and girls bow themselves to Christ. Today, what Paul does is he continues this theme of submission. He's going to talk about submission in marriage. And our focus today will be on Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 24. And we're going to see that in the mind of the Apostle Paul, this submissive wife that he is putting forward is going to be one that points us and points others to the Spirit-filled life, points one to Jesus Christ. You can listen to the text again. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For as the husband is head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, his body and him is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so wives also should submit in everything to their own husbands. So let's see what this submission looks like in the mind of the Apostle Paul. And we're going to begin in verse 22, and we're going to call this a call to submission, a call to submission. What can we learn about submission as we look to Christ, even in our worship? What can we learn about submission as we look to the Scriptures? What can we learn about submission as we look to Paul saying, within the home, within the order of the home, this ought to be the way that, that things unfold? And we have to start with the word submission. The word, as I mentioned last week, means to yield oneself. It comes from a military term, meaning to arrange oneself under. So you think about if there was a war and there were those going into battle, there's going to need to be somebody in charge of those that would be troops. Somebody that, as the troops go into battle, there's one that others are arranged under. And that's that idea of submission, the idea of yielding one's will and subjection and obedience. Now, this call to submission is a call for wives to be subject to or to yield one's will to a husband who is in a position of leadership under Christ. Now, again, I understand that's not popular. You know, some may be sitting there thinking, what is this archaic thing that we are hearing today? But the reality is that that is an ethic that is taught throughout the New Testament. It's an ethic that is part of what it means to live the Christian life. Colossians 3:18 says, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Or 1 Peter 3, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. And then Titus 2, older women, teach the younger to teach what is good and train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working in the home, kind, submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. So if we look at the New Testament and the ethic of the home that we find within the New Testament, and we're reflecting this unto one another submission and what it means to live the Spirit-filled life, when we look at the Spirit-filled life within the home, we see an order that is going to include submission. But I want you to notice something about this. Notice that the Apostle Paul says that in submission, the wife is to be in submission to her own husband. To her own husband. Now, I want you to understand the significance of that. The significance is that Paul is not teaching the full subjection of a gender under another gender. Paul is not saying that every woman is to be subject to every man. Now, we could talk about the order of society in a different place, and we could talk about roles in society and those things, but what Paul is doing here is he's saying, wives, be in subjection to your own husband. Okay? Now, what that means, Christian men, is that you can't look to a Christian woman during Sabbath school and say, would you get me a cup of coffee? You can say that, and she may get you a cup of coffee, but it's different than a husband and a wife relationship. We don't have, we being men, don't have that right to bring all women in subjection to all men, because it's not what the Scriptures teach. The Scriptures teach that a wife is to be in submission to her husband as unto the Lord, and it is that she is to be in submission to her own husband. Now, another thing that is important to remember here in that idea of submission to your own husband is that that submission is voluntary. You might say, well, it doesn't sound voluntary. It sounds like a command. It's voluntary in the fact that when a woman marries, she is free to marry or not marry. But if she marries, there are certain obligations, just like there are with husbands, that come with that marriage. And one of those obligations is a voluntary submitting of will, a voluntary submission to her husband. We see that what Paul has in mind here is that this idea of submitting, or this call to submission, it's something where it's specific, it's to your own husband, and it's something that is voluntary. Wives, when they marry, voluntarily give themselves over to this. And we also remember that this call to submission is not a teaching of value, but a teaching of function. Okay? And that's important. That's what we started with. Christianity has done more in the history of all things and all ideas to elevate the value of women more than any other thing. So when we talk about function versus value, this is not a statement of value. This isn't saying, well, women are of less value, therefore they are to submit. It is a statement of function. This is what God has called for the order to be within the home. We're taught that in Christ there's neither male nor female. That's a teaching of value. Our value before Christ is neither male nor female. But our function may include, as it does for the wife, to be in submission. So a Christian wife is called to be in submission to her own husband. And how does she do that? The Apostle Paul adds these words, as to the Lord. As to the Lord. When a Christian wife submits to her husband, it is as if she is obeying the Lord. That's the mindset of the submissive wife. The mindset of the submissive wife who is in obedience to Christ is when this submission occurs, it's not saying, I've been asked to do this or I've been asked to do this because he doesn't value me. The mindset is, I've been asked to do this as unto the Lord. And we see that there stated by Paul. It's something that shows the heart of submission. But as that application is given, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord, we don't like to hear application without principle, right? We want to know why. Why is this the case? And maybe that's the question in your mind right now. Pastor Nathan, I see that Paul teaches submission. I see that the New Testament teaches position. You might even say, I don't particularly like it, but I might like it better if I knew why. If I knew why God is calling for this in the context of the family. And we see that in our second heading, which I'll call a context for submission. A context for submission. And Ephesians 5:23, Paul says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. So the context of that submission is that the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. And then he says, he is the church's Savior. So this is the context for the Apostle Paul. This is giving the why behind the call for submission. Paul wants husbands and wives to understand their role and to understand something of the economy of the home, the way things work within the home, for the sake of the Christian church. He says that husbands are heads of the wife, and we'll get, you know, husbands, you'll get your turn next week, by the way. But the word head can mean source, and it can also refer to the head of the body. So like the physical head is one use of the head, and then head being the source or the fountain or that from which this thing occurs. And head as source may be a reference to the creation where Adam is first created, and then out of Adam is created his wife. And both being made in the image of God, but Adam being the source of Eve. So maybe Paul's thinking something along those lines. Here's the created order, as we say it. Adam is created, and then from Adam is created his wife. Now, of course, there is this analogy of the body as well that Paul has been teaching us. We're part of a body, and we work together as a body to serve Christ. We talked about that some last week, how in the church, if we are submitting to one another and yielding to one another, it helps with the function of the body. It shows the service that is done to the body. So the apostle may have that in mind as well. But what's most important here to help us to determine what it is that Paul, or why it is that Paul puts marriage and submission into this context of Christ in the church, is that Paul says, as Christ is head of the church. Okay? So, husband is head of the wife, source or physical head, reference to Adam and Eve, the creation. Adam's created first, Eve from Adam. And then also this analogy of the body, like we talked about last week, where Paul says that we're to be functioning as a body, yielding to one another, submitting to one another. But what he wants us to take home, most importantly, is that he says, as Christ is head of the church. That means that marriage is intended to teach us something. Marriage is intended to teach the world something. Marriage is intended to teach others about the way that Christ and his bride functions. And when we look at that, we see that the way that a husband and a wife interact, and the way that decisions are made, and the way that a husband and a wife love one another and respect one another and show that love and show that care towards one another, all of these things that are practical and nitty-gritty and daily life things, all of these things have a theological purpose. We are teaching about Christ and the church. Now again, marriage is not a sacrament the way Roman Catholics would believe marriage is a sacrament. Everyone has a right to marry. A man has a right to marry a woman. The scripture says that they're to not be unequally yoked. So an unbeliever can marry an unbeliever. That's equally yoked. A believer marries a believer. That's equally yoked. So marriage is something that is common to all. It belongs to humanity. It's not a sacrament. But even though it is not a sacrament, it teaches us something theologically. It teaches us about the relationship between Jesus Christ and his bride. So the way that you interact in your marriage, and the way that people look on your marriage and see the relationship and the way that that relationship works, that teaches the world something about God. It teaches, whether right teaching or wrong teaching, it teaches something about the way that Jesus Christ and his bride interact. Now, is that going to be done perfectly? No. Is that going to be done in such a way where you know, your husbands are always reflecting Jesus and wives are always reflecting the church. Absolutely not. We fail. We live in a world where things are broken and damaged by sin, and we could look at all the negative examples and the ways that we mess up, and we could say, Pastor Nathan, that's just idealism that you're putting forward. But it's what the Apostle Paul is putting forward. And more importantly than that, it's what the Holy Spirit is putting forward in the Word of God. Jesus Christ and His bride. You see, we're taught something here. Christ, after His resurrection and after His ascension, He's seated at the right hand of God. And what is He doing from the right hand of God? I guess I should use the right hand. What is He doing from the right hand of God? He is caring for His bride, isn't He? And as a response, what are we, the bride of Christ, what are we doing in response to Christ who's leading us? We to live in submission, and we live in such a way that the Lord is served. And we don't do it grudgingly. We don't do it as feeling like slaves or those that are oppressed. We do it out of joy because of that which God has done for us. You see, marriage is important in teaching about that relationship between Christ and the church. And as Paul makes his way to the end of Ephesians 5, he's going to tell us more about this mystery. He's going to tell us more about how profound this mystery really is. And what Paul wants us to do, what he wants you to do in your home life and in the marriages of the church, and as you maybe are seeking a spouse, or maybe in your reflection on a time that you were married, or as you speak to young people about the things they are to look for in a husband and wife, Paul wants us to think about Christ in the church. He wants us to see the significance of this. A husband loving his bride the way that Christ loves the church. And a wife submitting to a husband the way that the bride submits to the Lord. We see that today it's wives submitting to husbands. And it's a joyful obedience because, as Paul is given that context of the Spirit-filled life and a Spirit-filled care, it is service with gladness and thankfulness. And Paul gives us one more aspect to this context, one more thing that helps us to understand why. When Paul says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, the body, and He Himself is its Savior." And I want you to think about that line, as is Himself its Savior. Why does Paul add that? Like, does that actually help the conversation? Can you imagine speaking with an unbelieving friend and you're talking about submission and headship and its relationship to the church, and, you know, they think that you know, you're 15th century or something because you believe something like that. And part of your argument is that Christ is the Savior of the church. Like, that is that helpful as a statement? Well, I want to show you why Paul says it is helpful, why he adds that. It's a component of, or is it a component of the relationship between husband and wife where we don't understand that somehow the husband is the Savior of the wife? Like, that's a weird statement, isn't it? What is he saying here? What he is doing is he is not thinking of Savior in the sense of saving from sin, the way that Christ saves the church from her sin. But he's thinking about the word Savior in a much broader way, in a bigger way. And Charles Hodge says that Paul is suggesting to husbands their obligation to provide for the safety and the happiness of their wives. Because Christ is the head of the church, the Savior. Therefore, as the husband is the head of the wife, he does not just rule, which is where people go when they think of submission, but protect and bless. And that is how Paul is using this term. And that is why when we think about submission and we think about headship and today being on submission and that relationship to submission, there's all sorts of prickly pear attitudes towards what it would mean to be submissive or why that's something that is old-fashioned or whatever. But Paul is coming along and everyone's asking the question, why? Why is this appropriate? Why is this okay? Why is this something that still happens? And Paul puts it in this context of protection and blessing, of happiness and care for the wife. And friends, especially women, you should see that as something beautiful. You should see the joy involved in that, despite even the failures of many of us in living out the Christian life to the extent that we would desire to. And that's how Christ acts as a savior to the church. Christ doesn't merely rule over the church, although he rules over the church, but he also protects and he provides and he takes care of, and he blesses. And we use language like that even today. Like, you'll call me Pastor Nathan, and some will say he's a teaching elder. Okay, well, we have other elders besides teaching elders in this church. What are they called? Ruling elders. We don't hear that and think oppressive, mean, you know, we have to submit to these ruling elders. You know, the Westminster Assembly like the term shepherding elders. Shepherding elders. And that's the call here in the relationship between husband and wife. There's something of a shepherding, a protection, a guidance, a care, even as the wife submits and responds in this way. The wife submits to this because she is teaching something about Jesus. He is the one that protects and cares and comforts. And as we submit to Christ in those things, so too are wives called to submit to their husbands as well. But I want to show you one more thing that is here in the text. And look at verse 24. Verse 24 really gives some application and encouragement in the midst of this. Verse 24, "Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands." So our third heading is that this submission is a Christ-centered submission. A Christ-centered submission. Paul says that the wife is to submit as the church submits to Christ. And I want you to consider that submission. I want you to put that in context of the Spirit-filled life that we have talked about. Remember that the Spirit-filled church is a place of worship, a place where Christ Jesus is lifted up. And it's a place of thankfulness, in a place where expressions of joy occur and where we serve one another, not grudgingly, but serve one another joyfully and with thanksgiving, or at least that ought to be the case, right? And we see that as the church responds to one another in service to the Lord, we are to respond to Christ in that way. So when Paul here tells wives that they are to reflect this in their lives and in their homes and in their marriages, what Paul is doing is he's not calling women to find themselves under something that is going to be oppressive and manipulative and controlling. Because that's not life in the church. And if it is life in the church, go find another church. Like, that is toxic. That is not life in the church. Life in the church is to be a place of joyful submission and joyful service, where the shepherding is for your good and for the glory of God. And you should be under shepherds that care for your soul in that way, where if you are ever asked to do something or encouraged to do something, you don't respond to that saying, you know, I think I'm being manipulated into doing this. And friends, there are churches like that, aren't there? Just like there are Christian relationships like that. And it's ungodly, isn't it? It's ungodly. What Paul calls the Christian woman to do here as she marries and as she joins herself to a husband is that submission is going to be a voluntary subjection to husbands in joy, and a voluntary subjection to husbands in the context of trust and love and thankfulness. Because that's what we see in the church when the church is functioning properly. Now again, that doesn't mean that there aren't Christian marriages that are toxic like this. But it does mean that what Paul is pointing us to is not something where, like, if we were heading straight on to a car accident, you know, buckle up because you know what's coming. That's not what Paul sees as Christian marriage. Paul sees the joy and the thankfulness, and he sees the theological implications, and he would challenge and encourage women to find themselves in marriages where their submission is one of joy and thankfulness and serving the Lord even with gladness. He says it is in the context of trust. And then Paul says that it's in everything. All areas of life Paul has in mind. You know, when does submission happen? What's the end of submission? You know, is submission just when a hard decision can't ever be made and, you know, somebody's got to yield, somebody's got to give, otherwise this whole marriage is going to fall apart? Like, Paul isn't thinking of submission as just that final decision that has to be made where husbands and wives are in disagreement. He sees this as something of the joy-filled Christian life that is lived even within the home. Now, we would qualify everything as well. It's everything lawful. It's if there's unlawful things that wives are asked to do, do they submit to that? Absolutely not. It's unlawful. How about things against the conscience of a wife? Can the husband ask the wife to do something that is against her conscience? No, to sin against conscience is sin. So there's a context here that Paul would bring. And that's the same as we, even in a few weeks, we'll talk about parents and children. Parents can't ask their children to sin. Parents can't ask children to go against their conscience. Now, children, your consciences need to be informed by the Word of God. And my children, I will inform you from the Word of God what your conscience should be in certain things. But it's true, we don't sin against conscience and we don't sin against the Scriptures. There's a context for this. But Paul wants us to consider in the light in marriage in the light of who Jesus Christ is and how Jesus governs and how Jesus loves and how Jesus calls on the church to respond in love to the redemption that he has offered. And friends, I want you to think about submission in that context. Submission is not a popular subject today. You know, I'm sure that if somebody just off the street found your bulletin that, you know, if you tossed it or dropped it or something, and they picked it up and they said, that pastor is preaching a sermon called Submission to Husbands. Who does he think he is? Or what a sexist place that must be. Friends, I don't want you to walk away here today thinking what a sexist thing the New Testament is. I want you to think about the joy and the freedom and the safety that is brought when husbands and wives together find themselves obeying the Word of God and trusting in Jesus Christ and seeing this for the glory of God and seeing this for the good of the church. I understand that submission is not a popular subject today. I understand that even because of abuses, there are those that would consider it to be oppressive and some would consider it to be cruel. And again, there's abuses to truth that need to be talked about and need to be counseled through and need to be worked through unto the glory of God. But that does not negate the fact that God calls the Christian marriage to reflect in this way and to be in this way. Paul calls Christian wives to take that great opportunity to present to the world this picture of the church's response to Jesus Christ. And friends, it is a beautiful thing when done unto the glory of God, a yielding and a serving of husbands, even in this obedience to all things lawful, the submission to all things lawful. Paul is teaching others of that relationship of Christ in the church. Now, friends, I want you to hear that, but even as Paul finishes out that chapter and he says that he is speaking of Christ in the church, I want you to think of your relationship to Jesus Christ as well. You know, maybe you put the analogy together and you know that we as the body, that we're to be in submission to Christ. And maybe your heart's not there. Maybe you're in rebellion to Christ. Maybe you have not come to trust in Him and to yield to Christ as the one that loves your soul. Maybe you could read the Song of Solomon and you can see the love that Christ has for His bride, and you can say, you know, I'm not there. I'm bitter against God, or I'm hurting, or I'm living in sin. I'm refusing to submit to the Lord. And the first call, even in Paul's mind, more importantly than the applications that find their way in the Christian home, are you in submission to Christ? Have you found yourself bowing under Him and His lordship and His headship? This should be our first application. Jesus woos sinners to Himself. But even in that wooing that we see, we'll sing Psalm 45. In Psalm 45, we see also Song of Solomon, which we mentioned. Christ woos sinners unto Himself. But it's also something that each one of us are commanded to do, to come to Jesus and to believe. But the second application is that wives, Christian wives, you are to submit in this way, and you're to be reminded that you are teaching something of the great need for the church to be obedient to the King and be obedient to the Master, Jesus Christ. Not grudgingly, not out of fear, not out of even spite, but out of love, out of response to the love that Christ gives us, out of joyful gratitude. So may our homes be analogies of grace. May our homes reflect that which Christ calls on the church to reflect. And again, you'll stumble, I'll stumble, we'll all stumble. There's times where it's harder, there's times when it's easier. We get all that, and we can be honest about all of those things. But as Paul calls us here to do with the wives this week, and even as we go next week into the husbands, we want our marriages and the marriages of this congregation to be reflections of Christ and the church. May He apply that to our lives. May our young people desire that. May our singles see that and see that as a beautiful thing. And may Jesus Christ be exalted. Amen. Father, we thank You for the beauty of the Christian home. And we know, Lord, that even as we live in a broken world, that our homes do not always reflect this ideal. Lord, we pray that more and more we would reflect on what it is You would have us to do, and that we would walk by faith to serve You even with gladness. Amen.